Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
A very good afternoon to you once again. Welcome back. This is the second of the 3 hours we have together of live with me, Naye Lupondwana. We are together until 3 o'clock. It is the lunch hour where we grow by feeding ourselves mental and spiritual matter that will grow not only our spirituality but also our intellect. I was taken aback when somebody said, you know, you always say the GROW model is only for the spirit, but even for our understanding, the GROW model helps us with our mental acuity. So I thought, that's a good point. Actually, I never thought of it that way. But here we are. So we are doing it not only for the spirit, but also for the mind. This week, we're talking about walking with God. And today, specifically, we're focusing on trusting the path. Man, I thought that was a bit odd. Trusting the path? Walking with God isn't always a straight, sunny path. Sometimes it winds through valleys of confusion, deserts of waiting, or storms of uncertainty. The key is trust, we're told. Not in the path, but in the one who leads us. That's more like it. Faith isn't knowing all the steps. It's taking the next one with God. That's why we didn't talk about this with Pastor Justice Mtukura joining us on the line. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, my brother. I want to welcome all the listeners, wherever they are listening us from.
Thank you very much.
I want to say a good afternoon to you all.
Thank you, Mfundisi. Thank you. Why is trust essential? Let's talk about that, the importance of trust in walking with God. Why? Why is trust essential when we are walking with God?
Thank you for the very important question, my brother. Maybe to start off, let's get to the book of Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3 verses 3, it says, can two walk together unless they agree? Mm. So walking with God, there has to be a mutual agreement. Trust is based on an experience or reliability. You cannot, you can only trust someone because of the past interactions or proven dependability. You cannot just trust someone from nowhere, but you have to trust someone whom you have interacted with and whom you can depend with. So we cannot walk with God if we don't trust him. In any relationship, trust is built through action. Trust in its truest sense in relying on God's character, promises, and sovereignty. Trust involves faith. There is no trust without faith. Faith is faith. You have to be able to have faith in God's goodness, faith in God's provision. I like the book of Psalm in chapter 20, verse 7. David says, some trust in horses, some in chariots, but we trust in the name of our Lord, in the name of our God. So trust helps us to understand God better. I will give another example. In the book of Daniel, we see these three Hebrew guys, the Hebrew boys, they stood before Nebuchadnezzar to answer the allegations which were placed before them. In the book Daniel chapter 3 verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king and said, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you on this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from your hand, O King. But if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will worship your image which you have erected." So trust is the glue that binds us with God.
I recall these disciples who followed Jesus trusting him without having ever walked with him before. They met him for the first time, and they left their jobs, they abandoned their careers, and followed him. Surely, if this is by any means an example to be followed, we know you can and you should. Goodness, you must follow without even knowing or having any evidence. That's faith, isn't it, Pastor?
True, yes, 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 my brother.
So I'm asking this because you said you can't follow if you don't trust.
Okay, so this is why I have brought in the issue of faith. Now, faith, like how the book of Hebrews puts it, faith is the substance of things hoped for, things that are not seen. For someone to have faith, for someone to have trust, he should first develop faith. So faith is the substance. For someone to have trust, you need to have faith.
Yeah, okay. All right. Second question, for instance, that I need to just address. How can we continue walking when we can't see what's ahead?
Such another important question. When Noah built an ark, he had not experienced the rain before. Because the Bible teaches us in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 5.
Right.
It says it had never rained before.
Right.
But Noah trusted God. He had to build the ark and continue preaching to the people about the flood, which he had not known or witnessed.
Right.
I like it in the book of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Mm.
So we have to walk by faith, not by sight.
Mm.
When Abraham was called by God from Uri of the Chaldeans, he went without knowing where he was going. He trusted God. Hebrews chapter 11, we hear, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive inheritance.
Mm.
And he went not knowing where he was going. We don't need to see or to know, but to trust God. We only need to trust so that we can move on this journey without knowing where we are heading to. We have to trust God. He can lead us better. Like David, he says, God is my shepherd. So if we trust he's our shepherd, we have to walk the path.
Okay, so explain what that means to walk by faith and not by sight.
Okay. We go back again to the issue of faith. In faith, we don't have to see where we are going, but we have to trust that God is leading, right? So, walking by faith, not by sight. Sight is that which we see. If suppose we are driving to town, we have a car, we have the driver, everything is in place. But with this journey, with this walk, or with this path, sometimes we don't see where we are going. We don't see where we are heading. So we cannot walk by sight, but by faith.
Very, very complicated concept we're dealing with today. I would love more time, but I'm looking at my time and I'm running out of time. So what biblical character has had to trust God's path and fundis before seeing the outcome of following, of walking with God?
All right. In the work of the patriarchal fathers, the Bible tells us that, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that all these died in faith. Who were these? Abel died, Abraham died, Isaac died, Jacob died, and the text goes on to say, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. So Abraham had to trust God before he made a move to an unknown place. Enoch walked with God. Just recently, yesterday, we're learning about Enoch. Enoch walked with God before he was taken away, right? Then Noah, again, had to build an ark without having any experience of rain. So these gentlemen, these patriarchal fathers, they walked by faith, not knowing where they were going, not knowing, not having even an experience or a touch or a feel of what were the promises, but they just trusted. I like verse 14. It says, "For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a home, a homeland." So these gentlemen whom I have mentioned, they looked a better city. They were pilgrims on this earth, but they just trusted that we are heading somewhere. God is taking us somewhere. Although they died not having received the promise, but they died believing. They died having the faith that one of these days we are going to enter the heavenly Canaan.
Let's talk about fear. In what ways does fear challenge your ability to walk by faith?
When we are walking by faith, fear must not exist. When one has developed trust in God, God has not given us the spirit of fear. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, but we are not given the spirit of fear, but power and of love and of sound mind. So when one is in the right path, fear must vanquish. Fear must disappear. However, in his walk with God, Abraham in the book of Genesis, he expressed fear. He was skeptical about the future. He then made an alternative. In the book of Genesis chapter 16, we see him being given his maid and taking his maid as his wife. And Ishmael. When Ishmael was born, it was not God's plan. But because of fear, because of being skeptical about the future, Abraham deviated from God's plan, and he then sinned against God. We see in another set of scripture in the book of 1 Samuel, again, we encounter this king by the name Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. When Saul, the king, was fighting against the Philistines, when Samuel the prophet delayed for 7 days, Saul offered a sacrifice which was only supposed to be offered by the priest or a prophet. In the book 1 Samuel chapter 13, 11, and 12, Samuel, when he came to Saul, Samuel said to Saul, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered at Michmash, then I say, the Philistines will come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering." Because of fear, Saul disobeyed God. So if we are afraid, if we are frightened, we are bound to sin against God, because sin must not exist if we have full trust in God.
When you say sin must not exist, what does the pastor mean?
Sorry, maybe I just missed it there.
What?
It's fear must not exist.
Oh, I see.
Right?
I see.
Yes, fear must not exist. Saul sinned, that's when fear came. because he did not walk in the path that was directed by God. So he sinned, and then he feared, and then he sinned afterward.
Yeah. Okay. So which came first? Was it fear or was it sin?
All right. This gentleman, in fact, in Hebrew thinking, we say action precedes action precedes words. In fact, if we in Hebrew thinking, we say someone cannot sin when he has not thought about it. What begins first, because we sin in our heart, we think about it, and we contemplate about it, and then the actions are seen outside. But what begins first is sin in this case. But what we see, the evidence, we see he's saying here, I saw the Philistine and I was frightened. So it is like when he's reporting, it's fear first and then sin later, but which is vice versa.
Okay. Okay. Final question, Funes, and I'll let you go. How do we grow in trust when God seems silent?
That's a very important one. Most of the time, it seems God is silent in our life. We have to hold on his promises. We have to hold on to faith. I like Ellen White in one of her books, Steps to Christ. Under the topic, The Privilege of Prayer, she says, through nature and revelation, through his providence, and by the influence of his spirit, God speaks to us. So one may ask, where was God when my son died? One may ask, where was God when my husband died? One may ask, where was God when I was involved in an accident? My simple answer to that is, God was where he was when his son was hanging on the cross of Calvary. So, we must trust God in his silence. We must hold on to faith. I like one of the Advent hymn now. The writer says, or the musician says, when darkness seemed to veil his face, I rest upon his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. He ends by saying, when all around my soul gives up, he then is my hope and stay. So if God seems to be silent in our life, we have to hold on to hope. We have to hold on to faith. Some other times, challenges may come our way. We may not see the evidence. We may not see God, but let's hold on to faith. Let's hold on to hope. It's going to be fine. No darkness will last forever. It will be sunny one of these days. So my assurance to the listeners is, whenever it seems God is silent, whenever God is quiet in our life, I want to assure you this: God is always a talking God. He's always speaking to us. But if it seems in our experience he's not speaking, let's hold on to his promises. Let's hold on to faith. Let's hold on to hope.
All right. All right. We're going to take that, Mfundisi. Really appreciate your time again. It's a Tuesday. Looking forward to more conversations like these the rest of the week with Pastor Justice Mtukura. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Have a wonderful day. And we'll see you again tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy your day. God bless you.
It's never just about faith. It's how you actually live. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.